yourself.
This call is being recorded.
Did you know that? Okay. Usually you get a little red light, but didn't get it. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pod Stallions. I am Brian, your host, and with me, as always, is Jason. You know what? I'm going to do that again because the Brian, your host, comes from my video stuff. And I'm just used to saying, but that doesn't make sense. Okay, so hello, everybody, and welcome to Pod Stallions. I'm Brian, and of course, with me to my left in the sweltering heat of Los Angeles is Mr. Jason Lindsay. How are you, sir?
Hello, everyone. Hello, sir. I am all right. I'm trying to stay cool as best I can.
Yes.
A bit of a wave here.
You said something about a monkey's bum?
Well, it's an old Monty Python thing. It's hotter than a monkey's bum, Your Majesty. So I use that. I always use that analogy. But how are you? It's good to hear your voice. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
It's good to be wanted. I only want.
It's great to be back. We've both been through some fun times, I guess. And when you're in that mood, you really don't feel like recording podcasts, and you kind of have to want to do it. And I'm glad that we're both at that place again. That seems to be a good sign for both
yes.
of us.
And once you get and it's always fun to talk about any of this stuff because
oh, I've missed this. Yeah.
The engine revs, but yeah, it's long overdue. So I'm glad we're here doing this. And but really, beyond the usual pleasantries, for being away so long, we missed your anniversary, your particular anniversary for Plaid Stallion.
Yeah. It wasn't that we missed it. I just, at the time, I just couldn't, I was focused on other things.
Yeah. And, no, I don't mean miss it like you screwed up. I mean, it just zipped by, amongst the things that were happening in life. So this is a slightly delayed celebration also of Plaid Stallions, which had its 20th anniversary back in April of 2026, and which I think is a pretty big deal. It should have been a plaque, or maybe.
Yeah, I feel like celebrating it very, very much.
Good.
Because I remember when I started it, I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this for 5 years and see what happens." And I think I had this plan that this would be. I don't know what I thought this was going to be, but I thought, yeah, in 5 years, it's going to take me places. I'm going to do things. And it's like, but it was that, like, you remember that South Park of the gnomes who were stealing underwear and their plan is like, steal the underwear, middle part, get rich. I think it was very much a plan like that, but it really, when I look at it now, it was like, store yourself out there, see what happens. And lots happened. And that was, that was the best part of it. And
well,
let's
go back, way back from the night, as the song said. Let's go back and give a little bit, because this will be a semi-interview. So give a little bit of the background of your collecting and like catalogs and things like that, your father and such. And what led you to kicking off a website, a cool website like Plaid Stallion?
Well, I think it happened because, like you said, my dad was a toy distributor, among other things, but he would often buy rack toys and then like closeouts. So like he would buy a lot of Mego Action Jackson, Mego Planet of the Apes, stuff like that. And I was obsessed with Mego as a kid and Big Jim and G.I. Joe. But the thing I think that really kicked it off were two things. And that was department store catalogs. And my father was subscribed to, I don't know. I think it was like free at the time because he was a toy distributor. All the toy industry magazines, he used to go to Toy Fair And I think that got you on the mailing list for Toys Magazine and for Toy and Hobby World and for Playthings Magazine, which is not as sexy as you'd think it would be. And I would like often there was no, he'd have to work on a Saturday, he'd have to work on like a Thursday night or something, and I'd have to go to work with him. I liked going to work with him. I loved that business he was in. And so I would sit there and read those toy industry magazines as a kid and just soak up pictures of Toy Fair. I knew who Marty Abrams was when I was like 8 or 7, like just like, oh yeah, that's President Amigo. And it was a weird childhood, and it led me to toy collecting because he knew where all the old inventory was. And I got into toy collecting that way. And Mego was like my main passion. But what started Plaid Stallions was I also just like I had a lot of other interests and a lot of obsessions, TV, movies, you name it. And in those toy magazines would be a million great articles that didn't apply to the Mego Museum. So I had no outlet for them.
Right. You're gathering information and hanging on to it, and
Yeah, and I tried to share it. The earliest thing I can remember is you remember Yahoo groups?
oh yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, a friend of mine that I met through Mego Collecting, Keen. I'm still friends with Keen. He started a group called 70s Toys, and I started scanning catalog pages for it, and there was like 14 people in there, and it kind of gave me a t like. I loved doing that. I loved sharing those photos, and the group didn't take off in the way I was hoping it would, but that left a taste in my mouth. And when this newfangled thing called blogging came out, I went for it. I had very young children at the time. In fact, Plaid Stallions was started on a day where my wife was out with my son. And I was with my daughter, who was less, just under 11 months old. That same daughter just picked up her first car tonight.
That's
And
crazy.
I was like, geez, I got 2 hours. What do I want to do? And I thought, I'm going to start that Plaid Stallions blog I've been thinking about for months. Because Plaid Stallions was a word I came up in high school with in high school. I had a wall in my locker with pictures of dudes in leisure suits, because my friend's mom worked for Eaton's, which was they used to catalog. He's like, "There's a ton of catalogs in the basement of Eaton's. Do you want them?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I got all the fashion ones, which weren't as interesting to me because I liked the toys. But then I was ripping the pages out of them and putting them all over my locker because they were hilarious to me as a teenager. I didn't realize fashion was cyclical, and you just mock what you don't know. And that was where it first that word came from. So it was kind of a
That's where the term came from, or
yeah. I used to have a wall, and I call it the Plaid Stallions, and no one
oh,
ever laughed at that, but I
okay.
thought it was funny.
Well, I to segue a bit, I can't remember 100% when I found the site, and I don't remember what I was looking for. I was probably looking for some searching for toy images or a particular toy or something. And I know it was right when the first wave of Biff Bang Pow stuff came out, the two Lebowski figures and the Ming and Flash and the variants that came out. Because I got totally sucked in to the site, and not just the toy stuff. I really was attracted to the fashion catalog stuff, because of how dry the commentary was underneath the photo. I
Yeah,
really,
that came out of my wife and I reading those in bed, and I would make pithy comments. That she loved that, and that's where that came out of.
well, that's what got me. Like, I was like, well, this is great. Because then I realized
That's why I have two kids, by the way.
a whole history to go through to see these comments and, you know, and chuckle. And then it would be a toy thing, and then, you know, a catalog thing, and then a toy thing. And I would, you know, I started to go every day. And at some point, I think I saw the way to get a hold of you, like the email address or something on the page.
Which was jerkass@plaidstallions.com.
Yeah. And I sent a note and said, hey, I just came across your page. I fell in love with it. I love all this stuff. I started a toy company and I put out these. And you responded a day or two later and were like, oh my gosh, I literally just picked up Flash and Ming the other day.
Actually, I think it was just the Ming.
Or maybe it was the Ming. Yeah.
There was a Ming at it. And what was funny was I went to, I would bring my son to comic shows because he liked Justice League and that sort of stuff. And we went to some comic show in Toronto. And, you know, I lived in a little bit of a bubble when you've got young kids. And I saw that Ming and I'm like, this is out? This is a thing? You know, and I picked it up because I just was like, oh my God, like Flash Gordon merchandise. And then, yeah, you wrote me like 4 days later or 3 days later. That was so weird.
Right there. And I was just, you know, raving about how great the site was and how much fun I'm having with it. And, you know, kudos, you know, nice job and everything. And you're like, oh my God, I just, you know, and then
we discovered we had nothing in common.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how long after that, if we sent a couple more emails or then eventually said, well, let's get on the phone and I'd love to talk.
I can remember a lot of you calling me when I was on my bike. Back in the day, I used to be a real avid bike rider. In fact, I think even I remember that's where I was when the you told me about the Venture Brothers toys.
I was cycling
downtown, and it was like, oh, okay. Wow, you know.
I mean, that was years later, but yeah, that would be. And I would always call you and run things past you, and you know, we're thinking about this. What do you think this could be, and whatever. And then I don't know how long from there I learned about the Mego Museum and knew that there was another avenue because I didn't know that existed until I found Plaid. Not until I found Plaid Stallion.
I found the Mega Museum, I think in 96, like when it started.
But you know, it's not like I really would have been doing much searching for Mego.
Oh yeah, no, that was the number one thing. I you know, I think I can reveal this now. My AOL password was Mego when I first logged onto the internet.
Yeah, now that's out.
Oh yeah,
but you know, I had my Mego books. You know, the Bonavita ones, whatever. And I didn't really, I mean, I was curious, but I just didn't, I never did any searches. I would have come across it, I'm sure, if I had. So, then I knew that you did that. And then not long after that, however many years it was, these kind of epic phone calls, we thought, let's record these. Let's do it. I mean, I don't know when that was, but I also don't know if like, when the word podcast was a thing or became a thing.
I was doing a podcast with Robin, the Mega Museum podcast.
Oh, okay. You guys had a podcast.
He was doing it all basically. I didn't really actually.
So what year was that?
Oh boy. I think that was around 2008, 2009 ish. I gotta look it up. They're still out there, the Mega Museum podcast. I worry about listening to them now. Although I know we didn't, you know, we didn't say anything weird. I imagine we both have really high voices.
But that makes sense though because I'm thinking 2007 or so is when the Flash Gordon stuff comes out. 2008, 2009, podcasts become a little more mainstream. Like more people know about them at that point. And we must have kicked it off. I don't know, 2010 or something.
Yeah, it sounds right. I remember, like, you know, Robin and I were kind of done with the Mega Museum podcast, and you know, it was a great time, but there wasn't as much going on with the hobby at that time, and I think it kind of ran its course. But you were a guest on that a few times. And
Was I?
yeah, pretty sure.
I'm sorry. I don't
Yeah,
don't.
I'm pretty
I
sure
mean, it
that's
sounds right. It sounds like something
stuff.
I would have done.
Well,
Thing that
because
would have.
you were doing you were doing Mego style figures at one point.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. When we started to do that,
Yeah.
which I want to say, 2012, 2013, maybe that we started doing that stuff. I
Yeah,
gotta.
yeah. I you
I
know what
gotta.
I my dates are all over the
No,
place.
no, 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 no. It makes sense because it was timed for the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, which
Right.
was 2013. So
But
we had been
you
going.
had started before. Oh yeah, you'd been going for a while.
Yeah, so I think
Yeah.
the 8-inch stuff was maybe a year before that, maybe a couple years, because
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think we did the Venture Brothers first, and I remember being in London for on a trip and meeting with the BBC to
Yeah, I remember
convince
you calling me
them
about that.
to do Doctor Who and having an actual sample of the Venture stuff. So that would mean that we got the license in probably 2011 or so. So maybe
Yeah.
we started doing the 8-inch stuff around there. So you and
Yeah.
I had just started the thing, and then you're still doing the podcast with Robin, and then I get invited. Yeah, okay, that all tracks now. That makes sense.
And I also remember that we had the perfect planning session for the podcast, which I think the podcast became, which is you and I went on a long car ride together.
Oh my God.
That is
Yeah.
the famous lost episode of Pod Stallions. I should have recorded that.
Yeah. We had a burger. We had a burger.
Yeah, we went to Lick's, which is no longer in business.
Oh, because I complained, right? Probably because I complained that day.
No,
Man.
apparently that was very, very poorly financially managed.
Yeah, we went all over the place. You took me to all these.
Took you to Hamilton. I took you to Cool Stuff Toys, which is unfortunately
Yeah.
closed. And then we went to Bounty Hunter Toys. And
So
I forget.
we're
I remember I went to Tim Hortons. That was Hamilton. I took you to Tim Hortons
right, which I'd never been to. I'd
and I
always
bought a
heard of it.
coffee. And you were like, "I better try a donut." And I wish I had told you don't.
Why? What? Were they
Because
bad?
they weren't special, you know. They
Right.
were they by that point they were just kind of like crappy, you know. They were
Well, you
special
know,
at one time.
when in Rome. So
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
okay. So that was the, and then after that, we started toying around with the idea of doing it. But
No, actually, we
so.
were discussing the podcast in that, like, what's the show
Oh.
about? What are we doing? And we had
Okay.
already set our minds to it. It was just perfect that you were in Toronto.
Oh God, I'm having really, you know, something. It's weird to me how crystal clear certain memories are, exactly where I was standing, exactly what I did, what the weather was like, you know, when that song came out, whatever. And then there's a whole, seems to be a whole sea of things that other people go, yeah, remember that year you met Bootsy Collins? And I'm like, what? Did I? I met Bootsy Collins, you know, like
And you
that kind
met
of thing.
Bootsy Collins?
Yeah, at Comic-Con. And that kind of stuff, you just go, oh yeah, what year? And I think also I've noticed that up until a certain year, I am laser precise with things. When it comes to about 2012, 2013, 14, when you say like, what year did that movie come out, or when was that? You know, it gets a little fuzzy. Like
Yeah, the
14 is
memory
like 19. Is...
compacts is something that
Yeah,
A
and also the
former
numbers.
Mego guy told me, and I always
Yeah,
loved it.
it was easier when we had 86 or 75. You know, you could pinpoint the year that way. But once you get past like 2010, it starts to get a little vague with things, you know, when they got released and happened and what have you.
I have kids, man. It gets worse.
But you had, so you had, so you're doing, so you're, and as you're doing Plaid Stallions, and you're kicking out the photos and the so you went from toy catalog to fashion shots. That ended up, you ended up having a, you had a huge archive. I mean, you still do, but like it's a, how many photos you reckon are in that archive, either individually or all combined, the
Like
two.
scans,
Yeah, like scans
they
and
probably have like 10,000 scans, and
yeah.
Here's the thing. And it's something that, like, as I've gotten older, it's become better. But I just threw everything in folders. Like, everything is a junk drawer with me.
Right.
And you know,
Right.
as the years ground on, I realized, oh, I have ADHD, and I've really began to manage that better. And I can't believe the toolkits I create now. Like, they're just like, I can spend an hour organizing folders before I start a project now, and I'm really proud of myself. But you know, when I want to look for something from 2010, it's just better to go get the frickin' book and scan it again. Because you know, and of course,
It's too hard to
the
find, you mean? Just
it's
too hard to
hard to
search?
find and search. And then, of course, like, I've had nothing but hardship with computers and drives, and you have no idea. Like, it's just like,
They're evil.
they're evil. And even when I was using my whole ass, you know, something would break, and it was like, you know, it just, I had bad luck. So I don't even want to tell you what I think I've lost.
Oh yeah,
Like,
listen. I mean, you've got to have a massive archive as
oh
is. But
yeah. Well,
I know you had a
I
couple
used
of
to have a
stints
job
where they went
where
missing, things went missing. Yeah.
I used to have a job at one point where I was always on the phone, and what I could do was just like catalog page scan, catalog page scan, you know, while I was talking, because it was like mindless, right?
Right.
So I could end up doing like, you know, 100 pages a day of catalogs, and then, you know, organizing them. And the reason I really think the site was so important to me was I would search for things and I couldn't find them. And I'd like, maybe if I put this stuff out, other people will react to it and start their own stuff. And you know, like the mall appearance shots, you know, like, I wanted to see more of those. And so I kept putting them out there, and I kept getting more and more submissions.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought this up because for me, this sort of keys into sort of the edict of a lot of what we've done, you know, here and there through the years. It's like, you know, I would look at that stuff, and you know, we came from a world of print catalogs and the It's a Small World catalog, and you know, toy shop that I would pull out the color. Insert, you know, the inside page, the guy that did toys and stuff did the colors just to have pictures of things because
Oh
if
yeah.
you didn't grab that, you didn't know it, you know, it existed. And so when I came across what you were doing, for me, it was kind of like, well, you're doing the Lord's work because if you don't do this, who's going to do it? Who's going to know this stuff is out there? We occasionally get things in like toy magazines and what have you. So I would think that what you've done with Plaidalion for a certain chunk of time, let's say early 70s to, you know, early 80s or whatever it is got to be the biggest archive online for toys, for toy catalogs.
Well, I
You know what I
think
mean?
for that era, because once you get to the 80s, the most important thing in the world is the VCR is out there. So, like, 80s kids, like, I'm still, by the way, transferring commercials. I've been doing that for years, and I just got there's a new Big Jim one coming in this week, and there's a new Mego one that I found, because, like, you know, that era, that we didn't, VCRs weren't common. And the minute, you know, I'd say like 1980, like, I was recently watching NBC Space Stars TV shows, like Space Ghost and all these other, you know, Herculoids, and it had all the original commercials. And it's like, yeah, this is great. If you lived, you know, once the VCR became really predominant, we could record all that stuff. And it just, stuff like that, it just kind of, it didn't disappear anymore,
Right.
and that's a good thing. And that was the same with, like, a lot of this stuff, photography. One of the things, I'm working on the book version of Mall of Justice, the, you know, the kids meeting the, Darth Vader at the mall. And it, just one of the things I find hilariously synonymous is how bad our parents were at taking photos. The technology was not there. There's heads cut off and red eyes and just overexposure and all that stuff because things got easier as technology improved.
Well, it just was,
And
you know, I mean, you know, I won't, I even think about stuff like that, and you think, well, this, you know, did they think the kid was going to hang on to this photo for a couple of years, a decade, the rest of his life? Like, there was
yeah, but I
no.
mean, like I see bad photos with Santa, and it's sort of like, yeah, that's something that was supposed to be sent to grandma,
Yeah, but it was that grandma was probably throw it away the next, you know what I mean? Like, it's like nothing is
Not my grandma.
the sort of disposability of a lot of that stuff, you know, and just, you know, not, you know, my father had one of those big cameras that, you know, when you stood, there's not a single spontaneous photo I think he ever took, and it's like every single photo was stand there, okay, count of three, 3, 2, 1, Joaquin, and everybody's got the same kind of look. There's no just kind of floating around taking casual photos. And he had this really great camera, and every photo is very precise. But yeah, a lot of that stuff is just a shitty little camera with a roll of film, you know, trying to get a couple of shots of the kid and whatever. But anyway, what I'm saying is the keep getting all that stuff, you know, scanned. You end up, because you're not just covering a toy company. You're not just covering Mego. You're covering, you know, all the toy companies, and then, and especially the Rack Toy stuff, which I want to get to, because that stuff, I mean, that stuff for me was really attractive because much of it I'd see on the site and had never seen before. Like, oh, I didn't know they ever made a Rack Toy for that. And then some, I was instantly transported to the drugstore and the wall of stuff to stand there. You know, you could pick one toy, stand there and choose which thing I'm gonna say, oh, I had that, you know, everybody does that too.
I was always obsessed
But
with
nobody
those.
had that. Nobody was really doing a deep dive on Rack Toys like that, you know, beyond all the other stuff you were doing. The Rack Toy thing really,
And
that
that's definitely because of my childhood. Because
yeah.
I can honestly remember my dad talking to me, and he was pushing like all those parachuting Spocks onto a hook, it was like one of those things growing up where I saw that stuff en masse. And he used to get samples and catalogs. I still have some of his catalogs. And that was definitely, because that was like the family business was
Did
like,
you get with stuff like that, with like the AHI stuff or the Fleetwood stuff or, you know, Hamway, as would he bring stuff home and go, here's a couple of Spocks, here's a,
I
you
could
know.
take whatever I really wanted.
Did you take that stuff back then?
Yeah, but I do remember, like, in the back of our house, we had like a sunroom, and there was just tons of toys with like Chinese tags on them and the price that he like people sent him. And I didn't like, eventually what I would do is sneak in and steal some of them, and he didn't care because he didn't know they were there anymore. But yeah, he would get lots of samples,
But
lots
you
of
know
samples.
that the Rack Toy is a great example of a thing that occasionally there might be a photo on the back, maybe to say, oh, look, there's two different characters or whatever. But basically, you know, you didn't really know what was in the line until you're in the store. You didn't know how many different, you know, things in this particular wave of Star Trek rack to, you know, no, I mean, nobody really called them Rack Toys then. I certainly didn't know the term until
Yeah, it's
you.
actually the industry term.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never
Yeah.
heard it until you. But
Like sometimes it's impulse toys, but Mego called them hush up toys, which I thought was kind of funny.
why Mego? But Mego never did Mego.
Mego was a predominant rack toy manufacturer in the 1960s.
Oh, so you think prior to
Yeah,
the 80s?
they were an 88 cents company. And what forced them out of that was they would put, like, what it was they would sell you the display for your store, and then they would put in newspaper advertising saying all these toys are 88 cents at, Schwartz's Grossisteria, and what happened was the print advertising like doubled in a year. And they were like, what do we do? And it was, it was that, set them on the path of doing.
So what I'm getting at is, even as you're a kid and you're digging through stuff, you didn't know a thing existed until you saw it or was in your hand, basically, And so the catalogs, and you saved them from, like, what age were you saving these catalogs? Like, as a kid too?
Oh, yeah. True story. When I was two, my folks lived not far from where my dad's warehouse was, on a little street called Lilac Terrace, and I snuck out and said, "I'm going to go to dad's work," out of my nap, and I left barefoot, and I got picked up by the cops, by the way. And I almost made it, by the way. And basically, I got sick because of that, because I shouldn't have been out there without any shoes. And I got put in the hospital. And my mom said that I wouldn't stop crying. And she's like, she looked in the back of the car and the Eaton's catalog.
And that got you to stop crying?
The bed, and I didn't even say goodbye to her. And it was like, yeah, I was looking at pictures of like G.I. Joe's, and so I think that's pretty serendipitous,
And that's kind of how it started. Like you stayed interested. You wanted, because your dad probably would have gone, just tossed them. Didn't he
well,
realize
no,
that
my,
you were?
yeah, like that stuff he kind of kept around for a long time.
In case
And,
a line kept going, sort of.
yeah, I don't know. I just like I don't think that he wasn't like the tidy, like he was just about pushing forward, and he'd leave those around to look through. And in fact, several of the I have a stack, probably like 20 of this magazine called Hong Kong Enterprises from the late 70s that I just can't throw out, and they're like phone books with pictures of toys and stuff in them. And mostly it's like cheap electronics and bra ads and stuff, but for some reason I just can't toss them,
Well, I'm sure the bra ads have something to do with it.
At
Okay,
one point in my life they were probably helpful.
but do you still have them intact? When you would scan them, did you take the pages out, or
No,
you
I
kept
never
them?
did that. That's why some of the stuff didn't look so good on the site as I now.
So do you have
My friend
like a
Jason
ton of?
Liebig, who created Wishbook Web, he actually did destroy the catalogs.
But did you keep all the? So do you have like a room filled with
Yes.
physical copies of, like,
Yes.
how many catalogs do you think you have?
Too many, if you ask my wife. I
A good
probably have
number.
about 300 to 400 vintage toy magazines. I have probably 400 wish books, and then
Oh,
equally
sorry. Hold on. Sorry. Wish book being like
like
a Montgomery Ward Sears type
Montgomery
big
Ward,
thick,
and yeah, just
the
like
big thick
Steve.
phone
Oh
book type cap.
yeah.
You have 400 of those?
Yeah, easily.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
And then how many like toy catalogs?
probably again like 400 to 500, and then also coloring books. And yeah, I just it's all in my laundry, or not my laundry room, my storage room. And yeah, I have a very understanding wife.
No, I get all that. I mean, look, everybody knows you're mental, okay? You don't have to convince anybody how extreme this hobby is. But that's a lot of, I mean, because I think of a wish book and it's like, what, 3 inches wide kind of thing, 3.5 kind of thing. Most of that is stuff you wouldn't be interested in. Do you know what I mean? Like most of it is, you know, pool tables and chairs.
Yeah,
and
I know,
lounges.
But you know what? I think I basically was so enamored with the the era. And I also just loved the iron. Like, I loved photos of like five dudes hanging in their underwear, which, you know, is something that never happens, or just like, you know, a group of guys hanging in suits and those catalog poses. I just found that so funny at the time, you know?
I mean, that's probably, I mean, maybe there's somebody out there that has that large of an archive just for that kind of thing, but I bet it's few and far between that people collect, you know, that extensive, you know.
It was actually nice. I went to this, there's this guy I know that deals toys here named Peter Joe. I went to his house a couple years ago to do an article for Toy Ventures, and he showed me his toy flyer collection, which is all just like the newspaper circulars, which I adore, but getting 70s ones is really tough. And he's more of an 80s kid. And again, it's just the world's his oyster. And he had at least 125 of those. And
I mean, again, and this is all stuff which, you know, comes back to toy collecting and things still being in the package. You know, I've got a friend who collects Britain's lead soldiers from the late 1800s, early 30s. You know, this, if you see something like that in a box still, that the figures are tied into the box,
it's with crazy.
You know, cardboard, you just go, this thing, you just would have been taking them out of there and thrown it away. Like anything that survived, you know, for a prolonged, you know, like that much time has gone by and the thing is still in the package or what have you. So that's really the crux of toy collecting. And, you know, this is a great thing if it's loose, but it's even better if it's still on the card, whatever, because most people just would have thrown that shit out. The level of hanging on to flyers, like newspaper flyers and catalogs and things, these are all things that were very disposable. And at a certain point, you think, well, you know, where is the memory base? Where is this information being stored if you're not doing it? You know what I mean? Like, maybe, I don't know if there are sites out there that go, the Montgomery Ward, you know, catalog archive or whatever. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
There's actually a few really good ones. Like I said, like Jason Liebig's Wishbook Web was just amazing. And, you know, it was to the point of just caretaking. Like, you know, he didn't just take random pages like me and goof on, you know, the couch colors. He actually just, like a docent, put every page up there. And God bless him. Mm-hmm. You know, I love people that do that. My worst fear, and this is just a weird thing I have, and you know, when I got outbid on a couple of catalogs that I still don't own, and it pisses me off that the people didn't share them. They just kept them because there's mysteries in there. And
you're saying the people that won the auction,
yeah, never shared them anywhere.
Right.
And it's just like, what the, like, I just, that's alien to me. You can say whatever you want, but that's alien to me, is the idea that you wouldn't want to share that with the world.
Yeah, I mean, I get, well, that's where you're different too, where you think this is all part of, what did you just call it? What was the word you just used? Not archiving, but what?
I don't know. I forget.
Oh, you just used a term I'd never heard. You know,
I used the word docent, but
that wasn't it. But it was something along the lines of archiving, where you're for the greater good, you're building an archive of this thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's a shared experience. And the more we share, like everything I put out, I'm like, because I have had contact with former people who worked at those toy companies. And
right.
I have had contact. Like, one of the coolest things was, like, I used to share pictures of old toy stores. And I love looking at old pictures of toy stores. Like, it's just...
Yeah, you had a good bunch of those, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes the people, you know, there'd be an article about a, you know, a toy vendor or something I put out there, and sometimes people go, that's my grandfather.
You had one up that I went to as a kid. that was really near and dear to me, Storkville.
Oh yeah.
In St. Paul, which was in a parking, the little strip kind of mall where there was I think a Montgomery Ward outlet and I think a Chinese restaurant, a few other things. It was right by the Arby's and the McDonald's that was in our neighborhood, sort of. We had to drive a bit, but that little toy shop was right in the corner, and it was mainly baby stuff, and cribs and things. But they had, I remember getting the Buck Rogers helmet and metallic Tweaky, and then the gun from HG Toys. Was it HG Toys? It came in a
Yeah.
box.
Yeah,
I got it.
that weird little pocket Twicky.
Yeah, he had a little button on his chest that it did like Morse code, or he had a little dial on his chest.
You know what's funny is that I got when my aunt was pregnant with my cousin, who they named Brian, weirdly enough, I got brought along on a shopping trip, and they took us to a store called Stork Town.
Oh.
And I is the first time I'd ever seen a full display box of Mean Girls World's Greatest Superheroes. I couldn't have been older than 5 or 6. And I got the Falcon. I remember that very
See,
vividly.
my memory of Mego was kind of everywhere. Like, it seemed to be, I have different memories in different stores and stuff, but very specific. A store in the Maplewood Mall is where I got my first Star Wars figures on the card. That Storkville is, I mean, in fact, Storkville was the first store I ever saw He-Man action figures in.
Oh,
This is
really?
like 82, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
And I got He-Man and Skeletor at that little shop. But it
Yeah,
was nice.
82, I
It was
remember they
not
came out like in August of 82.
Yeah, I think I, yeah.
I picked up the He-Man at I think Leisure World Hobbies. That's where I first saw them, and I had seen, do you remember that DC Comics had done a promo comic with them, like it was in the middle of every comic book they sold in that month.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that was
it's
just
like a little 16, and I was so into that. And then of course, like the cartoon came out, and it was kiddified, and it wasn't quite as cool. I want to bring up a certain date. Your first appearance on Plaid Stallion's blog is July 27th, 2008. Because you sent in pictures of yourself meeting Darth Vader at B. Dalton.
Yes.
You
Oh,
got a
yes.
really great picture of that. And then you
Yes.
also sent in pictures of yourself. And I texted you this picture of baby Jason with some Planet of the Apes at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, I remember. Yes. Yep. I remember that year. It was like two. Yeah, it was 2008. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And then the Vader thing. And I think I sent in the Cylon one.
Yeah, the Cylon one actually is
Or maybe
quicker in my memory because I put it in the I'm putting it like I've been working on the book, and that picture popped up.
I think I did a coloring book theater too, maybe. Maybe I
Yeah,
did
Flash
two of them.
Gordon. Flash Gordon, you
Okay,
did.
and I think maybe a Raiders one that
Yeah,
had,
I've never owned a Raiders one, so yeah, you probably did.
yeah, and it was like the missing, him with the with fighting the swordsman with the whip, and then the little monkey being dead. And I was saying,
Oh, I
isn't it
forgot
awesome?
about that.
Dead monkey in this coloring book.
Yeah, you know what? That was the worst thing until the Dune coloring books came out.
Right. The Dune is Hall of Fame. The Dune takes
I
it.
remember there's one page in the Dune where I think it's where the Paul Atreides' dad is dead, and he killed the other guy with that tooth, and that was the picture. And I think the comment I put was like another great picture for children to color.
I think there's, I might be wrong, but I swear, maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn there's a page where the doctor is working on Baron Harkonnen's
Oh
foot.
yeah, no. I definitely put that on the site. Yeah, he's taking
Right?
out his boils, and I was like,
Taken
"Hey
at his
kids, you
foot.
need some white and some pink
And
here."
there wasn't one person in licensing that went, do you really think, Should we have, should we put that in the coloring book? Is that a good idea? You know, kids are going to get night. Who's going to buy this and color it?
You know what? I think you've gone past the thing of like, why would we do a coloring book? Have you seen this movie?
Well, but if you were, you'd go hero shot. Here's a fight. Here's a worm.
Oh, sure. Things
to put in there. You know, the hero's dad getting, you know, being killed, you know, biting the tooth or whatever, and then the dead bodies, and then that particular that panel. Now, that page of his face being picked at in a coloring book has to be one of the most insane, if not top of the list.
What's the most odd thing is I've never held a coloring contest for that. That should be a coloring contest.
You also had the one that I had as a kid, the Star Trek coloring book. It's got the cover is of Spock's face, and he looks like he's going to glam band. Like he's got so much eyeshadow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like a painting of his face. And then inside they go to like that clown planet or something.
Jesus Murphy. Yeah.
Where you look at the page, good. What's wrong with this picture? Oh, I don't know. There's a dog on Spock's lap and you know, Kirk has a clown nose on, you know, that kind of
thing. Whoever drew Sulu, he drew Mr. Sulu with like this open gaping mouth. The entire time, and it's like, why?
You had the stuff you were doing. You had Mall of Justice, people sending in photos, pictures of them as a kid with the character. You had the coloring book theater, and then there's another thing I thought you had that was like an offshoot thing too, that updated now and then. Well, you do that. You certainly do the thing, five coolest things on eBay this week.
Yeah, that came later in life, and that's kind of been, I don't know, that's just kind of fun. I mean, I do get a little bit of money from that, but it's not really worth the time, you know, if I really put it. But I'm always on eBay, and I kind of enjoy it.
One of the things that when I do look at that, or come across it, it's because I'm not as diligent as I used to be, but you tend to see things that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Like, and you find stuff too. You're like, I didn't know they made a rack toy of Maud or whatever. You know, you're coming across these weird things on eBay, you know.
I've always had a couple of people who have looked out for me, like my friend Courtney and my friend Corey and Dave. They've sent me things over the years. So, you know, it hasn't always just been me, but I also just enjoyed that energy, you know, of like people sending me things like that.
Yeah.
And
you built it, you kind of built a community and then you got the, you know, the Facebook groups as well that are off. Well, so talk us through the timeline of when do you get on Facebook? Like, do you know when that was?
After I got on Facebook, you know, probably 2014.
Okay.
I was kind of wait a minute.
That can't be right.
No, that can't be right.
That can't be right.
That's wrong. I think I got on Facebook in like 2009. And I started a page, and I started a couple of groups like Megomania,
right?
And I started something called Vintage Toys and Action Figures that I don't run anymore. I can't, like, I still get like, you know, why was my post deleted? I don't know. It got to be the population of a small town, and it became too much for me to handle, and a lot of, you know, toy collectors can get really like toxic and crazy. And I just kind of just blew that off. But somewhere around there, I'd say, gosh, probably like 8 years ago, we decided, hey, let's do a Pod Stallions group. And that has been like, that got me through COVID. That got me through some really hard times because it has this really cool vibe. It isn't political. People take care of each other.
Which I like, because it all, that was our whole,
that was our whole thing.
One of our mission statements in doing the podcast was, we don't want to bag on stuff. We it's okay for us to take shots and go, you know, that one didn't really land for me, or I don't particularly like, I like
Yeah.
this one, but I don't like this one. But to just spend 90 minutes shitting on things,
Man, they sucked.
and that was, but that was back when it was still kind of in its infancy, where everything was wrong and everything was bad. Now,
Yeah. Now it's an industry.
it's an industry of
And
just
it
everything is
drives me
wrong.
crazy because it's gotten to the point of just it like idiocracy with this stuff. And like
Idiocracy, you
I
say idiocracy?
Idiocracy, yeah. Like
Oh, yeah.
it's gotten to the point of beyond parody where you're just like, oh, so just everything is terrible. And it's like because it's be th that's the click machine
It's a
and
grift. It's just all a
oh,
grift.
it's all a grift. Yeah.
I'm so
And I mean
exhausted by
there
it.
are things I walk out of and go, that wasn't very good. It didn't hurt me physically.
No, but it's
It
also like it's okay to not like a thing. It's
yeah.
okay to say, you know, that one wasn't as good as the previous one, or you know, I've tried many things
Sometimes
and I just can't get into that thing or whatever. But you know,
I change my freaking mind.
we should be able to. We've been very, very good and very careful about not, you know, taking a stance about anything specifically, or just let's spend an hour bad mouthing this thing or whatever. And
Yeah, well, I find that boring.
even what little we do, there are still
Yeah.
comments sometimes that say, "Well, I think you're wrong because that's a great thing," or whatever. And it's like, it's okay. I don't.
Yeah.
You don't have to. We don't have to like all the same shit.
Oh
And
yeah,
you know,
I know. And I mean, occasionally you get someone like, who can't work with others and is like, well, you idiots don't know any. Well, sorry, you've already lost because
yeah, it's just, you
we're
know,
we're not calling you a name if you liked it or you
and
hate
by the
it.
way,
It's
you know,
fine.
you're not gonna, if you wanna go at me for liking it, if you wanna just make a comment because I like a thing or dislike a thing, you're talking to somebody who has defended things his entire life that
Oh yeah.
nobody cared about,
Oh
that
yeah.
nobody had time for, that had to wait decades before people went, you know what? You know what's a really good film or whatever. You know, so I'm used to being off on the island liking what I like, and it's just about talking about stuff and giving opinions and hopefully keeping it stimulating. And as far as you and I go, with the things that we like, there's loads of stuff that we agree on and we like and are passionate about. And there's things that veer off that you know less about or I know less
Oh,
about.
sure. Yeah.
But that's the fun of the conversation, and this is what we always did as collectors, and you know, before you know the friggin' internet, when you would meet someone and they go, "Have you ever seen this?" You know, I mean, I remember the kid. I still remember the kid. I don't remember his name, but he was friends with my cousin David, and David,
Is an important character to
he's an important character in the he
lore.
comes up a lot in the podcast. No one's ever
Yeah.
seen. There's no photos of him that exist, but my cousin David had this friend, and this is like 81, maybe 81, 82 or so. And you know, he my cousin knew that I watched Doctor Who. He had watched it as well. And he had this friend that he, you know, he called me one day and he goes, "Oh, you gotta remember I told you about my friend Jim or whatever," and he just hands the phone to the other guy, and we start talking about Doctor Who.
Oh, that
And
happened to me too.
that's the phone call where the kid said, "Well, you know, have you ever gotten the magazine?" And I said, "There is no Doctor Who magazine." No, there's a Doctor Who magazine, the monthly magazine that comes out." And I'm like, "I'm sorry. I think if there were, I would know about this magazine."
Idiot.
And he told me where to go to find it. And man, I couldn't get to that shop fast enough to find this shitty little newspaper print magazine from the UK that I got every month after that, and then got all the back issues from a catalog that I found in the back of it or something, and that was the one I sent cash to. But if not for that kid saying that thing, going, wait, let me write this down, you know, and that's how it always was. You'd find out about things from other people telling you or saying, "Well, try reading this if you like, you know, Stalin, you know, read this book or whatever." And that's what it should be. It shouldn't just be this constant bagging on stuff or saying you're wrong for liking a thing. We can always question each other's taste. There's nothing wrong with that. But
Yeah.
isn't that like music or food or dress sense or
Or
anything?
Catwoman.
Yeah, it's just kind of it's just kind of a thing, and it's
And you know
and
what?
I think
That's the other
that's
thing that's interesting is, like, I think we have both changed our mind on things, you know. And that's
you
because,
mean
you know,
on particular titles or
everything,
topics or.
everything. Yeah. Like, you can change your mind on
Oh
things.
yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
And my thing is always, you know, I'm a glutton. Maybe I'm a masochist. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you how many things I have sat through, or a show that I'm pretty sure going into it, I am not going to like this. But my attitude has always been, if you're going to criticize a thing, you have to watch it. You have to taste it. You have to go through it. You can't just wave your hand and go, "Oh, that's total crap." Well, how do you know? And then every now and then, you know, maybe 2 out of 10 times or 3 out of 10 times, I'll come out the other side and go, "Boy, that was unexpected. I did not think I was going to like that much. I'm in. I was
Yeah.
wrong," or whatever.
Yeah.
But at least you try it instead of just totally dismissing it, because you know you really shouldn't be able to, you know, go head to head in the debate if you haven't seen the thing or tried the thing. And at that
Absolutely.
point,
Yeah.
if you both have and you didn't like it, then it's not my job to convince you that it's great. I can tell you why I like a thing or why I'm into whatever, but I can't convince you to come on board, you know. And that's been our whole lives have been like that. I think for the
Then there's
most part.
several things too. The first time I tried them, I passed. Like Game of Thrones, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, "Oh, screw this," and I ended up watching every episode eventually. But it, you know, I had to come back to it
Yeah.
because I just wasn't in the right mindset at the time. And it's
Or
just
just
funny how that works.
sometimes you need a second viewing of something, and you kind of go, "I don't think I, yeah, I don't think I was really paying attention to this first time. I actually liked it better the second time." And this is a, you know.
What's even worse is sometimes I watch a movie and I don't think much of it, and then this happened recently where it was on like Tubi, and I was like, oh, or no, I think Riff Tracks did it, and I started watching it, and there was like a ton of nudity in it, and I was
Ooh.
like, I don't remember any of this, and I realized that I don't think I was really paying attention to the movie.
Clearly,
Yeah, like I was like, yeah, okay, I did not give this a.
how little attention were you paying if you missed the nudity?
Apparently very little, because I would have, if you had asked me, was there any nudity in this? I go, no, it's pretty tame. And there was a ton. There was a
You'd
character
have to
missing
have like a
for
chip
sure.
implanted to block out the nudity
Yeah,
when you watch that.
that actually kind of like bothered me. I was like, what was I doing? You know?
I no, frankly, I think that's a travesty. I'm ashamed to know you if you watched the thing and didn't catch the nudity in the thing.
Oh yeah, it was so blatant too. It was actually kind of like eye-rolling nudity, like where you're like, "Oh, come on." But like it was like, "How did I miss this?" You
Yeah,
know?
I think you need to see a doctor if that's the case.
I already have like Coke bottle glasses. I don't know where I'm going to go from here.
But I think that for the most part, the audience that you've cultivated as well with that site and the other
Yeah,
page, you know,
I
you've
think
got
for the longest time I was doing it for like 10
on
people.
Facebook, you've got the Podstallions group, you also have the Plaidstallions group, correct?
No, I don't.
You
There
don't.
is a Plaidstallions group. Somebody started that. I don't think there's any activity in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just Podstallions. That's the
Okay.
official group for all. It's a catch-all.
But then you had
And
a different one. Did you have a Brick Mantooth one? Is that what I'm
no,
thinking?
I had Mego Mania. I know you're not a big Facebook guy. I had the Mego Mania. I have the Podstallions group, and those are basically where I ping pong back and forth to.
Okay. Maybe
Yeah,
that's
I'm
what.
not in a lot of other groups because I you know, it's hard for me to focus, and I'm in a couple of other people's groups, like you know, like my friend Ray Castile has a group of Basement of Horror, because he does really neat stuff with, you know, monster toys and masks and that sort of stuff, and I enjoy looking at that. And I'm in a couple of other like smaller groups. But and of course I've got like the, you know, Lincoln Monsters, which is the business that we started a couple years ago, that
Right.
has a group and things like that. But
And the Podstallions group, everybody just, you know, it's like a little safe haven, and people post really cool stuff and links to things and, you know,
you know what's
conversations
really funny
and
about
stuff like
that group is sometimes somebody will, you know, share something that just is not welcome. And I don't have to say anything because the other people are like, "Oh, keep that out of here. We don't need, we don't need that that nerd rage here," or something like that. And it'll get deleted. And it's like, wow, self-regulating group. And
So
it's
if we're able to, if we go back, what did I see? I think maybe Rockford J,
Oh yeah, he's in the group. Yeah.
maybe it was from him, maybe it was a scan from him. I forget what this was now, but it was, I don't think it came from you. But anyway, it was a Star Wars fanzine that two women had put together after the first film and through Empire. It was like a newsletter type thing, maybe 8 or 9 pages or something. And the scan was from the editorial after the Empire Strikes Back had come out. And the women basically said, "We're done. We are done. We've decided to shut the club down. We don't like, I can't believe you would make a movie as dark and ugly as that movie, and our heroes, and everything is so sad, and all this stuff." They were really pissed at the where Empire went as a story, and they vowed to not see Revenge of the Jedi, because that was what it was called then. They vowed not to see it. So
They did.
if we call this stuff nerd rage now,
Oh yeah.
what was it back when people wrote into Starlog and said,
I remember somebody wrote into Starlog saying I had two choices: sneak into the drive-in and see Phantasm, or go see that new Flash Gordon. I really wish I'd snuck into that drive-in. And I was like, I remember even like as a kid going, I loved that Flash Gordon.
But what was it then? You know what I'm saying? If it was,
Yeah.
if it's nerd rage now, which is easily accessible, it's so easily accessible and so
Do you
instant
remember you and
click,
I were talking about making that blog at one time that was
Oh
like
yes.
vintage toy
Yes.
reviews, and it was
Yes.
like, sorry, I don't remember Steve Austin having a hole in his face, and we like it, as funny as it was, it just was too real,
Well,
and I
I'm
just
grateful to have a Luke Skywalker action figure after all this time.
yeah.
His hair is yellow, and so is his lightsaber.
And his
And the last time
lightsaber
I,
comes out of his arm.
what a stupid acting feature! If that was around, they would have bitched about all of it.
And
It
I
would
just
have.
remember thinking, like, I don't want to write this. It's just too ugly. And like, like I think we both just like I even got a graphic. I remember I sent you a picture of like a
Yeah, but
really
it wouldn't.
miserable. It wasn't funny.
I think I wrote a whole thing about the Luke figure and the
Yeah.
early bird kit and how, his head clicked and Chewbacca's bowcaster was wrong. Where's the thing across the. And it was meant that we were going to do it for a short while to kind of go, isn't this funny? Because it was poking fun at how everything is bad and everything is wrong. I think partly too, it's like we are kind of living in it. Whether it doesn't matter what your mileage is, we are living in a golden age of
Oh,
product,
yeah.
of choices. And yeah, maybe you make the wrong ones, or maybe the people that do such thing, make the stuff, make the wrong choices, and we don't, whatever. But you have the choices. You know what I mean? Like, there's more. We got the powers of Matthew Starr. Like, that was the big fantasy show that was on, NBC that year, or ABC, or whatever it was. Like, so maybe because of that, you're going to get more of that, and everybody expects everything to be, class A when it's really C or D, or it's gonna like, oh, that was an okay thing to waste my time with or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think maybe the rage thing, maybe not the word rage, but that kind of thing has always been here. It's just that now
For sure.
it's got a much bigger megaphone and it's much, much easier to,
It's a
it's almost like a.
it's like complaining has become a bit of an occupation.
Well, it's almost like a badge of honor too. It's kind
Yeah,
of like,
yeah.
well, you might like that thing because everybody else does, but let me tell you what's wrong with it.
Oh, I just can't believe there's that many people who have to laugh emoji. Somebody's like, I liked the movie. Like, my God, By the way, I just wanted to point out that speaking of the, I know you don't visit Facebook much, but there's a Podstallion's post right after Your Own Heart. Someone's posted Louis Del Grande in Seeing Things.
Do you know what's funny? I came across a, I think it might have been on YouTube, an audio clip of Quentin Tarantino talking about Scanners.
Oh yeah.
He's like talking about the work of Cronenberg or no, movies from 81 or something like that, I forget. And he goes on and on and on about that opening scene of Scanners and how that scene is better than it's better than the rest of the film, and how great the film is, except for the lead guy who's just so wooden. Like, where did this guy? He's really bad mouthing the lead. But he goes back to the opening sequence and he keeps saying, that guy, whoever that guy was, in with the bald guy with the glasses, he is so convincing in everything he does. And he goes on and on and on. He goes, that guy, you'd buy him if he had his own movie or a TV show called The Landlord or something. Like that guy with some Canadian show or whatever. Like, he didn't know his name, but he was saying that guy is the best thing in the movie. He no one has had their head blow up the way Louis Delgrand did in that movie. And I want to go, that's Louis Delgrand, it's the guy from
Yeah, and he did have psychic powers.
Yeah. So
It's
he
funny, he's
so
playing like a psychic
yeah.
in that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know. I don't think I ever put together that was him until years later. I had seen Scanners on a rental. I don't know when I ever came across Second Sight.
I think there was a t-shirt store in Toronto that had a t-shirt of him, his head blowing up. And I just remember, like, oh yeah, that's a seeing things guy.
Was seeing
Yeah.
things before
Oh
Scanners?
yeah, I think it was a it before and around the same time, because Seeing Things came out like 81, and I think Scanners came
Okay.
out in 81 as
So
well.
that
So like.
whenever my cousin David rented Scanners for us to watch, because I couldn't see it in the theater.
Cousin David is famously missing, right? You have not had any contact
No,
with David.
idea how to even get a hold of him. No, he's
That
probably in jail. But
is.
he was the older cousin who had the penthouse and the Hustler and
Yeah,
then,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember. He's a legend. He's a
yeah,
legend around these parts.
he is
Yeah.
always a con somewhere. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, and that was a show that was on like after Benny Hill.
Yeah, it was on after the Beachcombers here.
Okay, so it was like a Saturday night thing, and Benny Hill because they used to do the Kenny Everett video show. Was
Oh
they
yeah.
showed it here after Benny Hill, and that's how I discovered Kenny Everett.
Shows that have aged incredibly well.
Well, yeah, no, there's some you could edit out, I suppose, but Kenny's the best. But that's how when I went to London the very first time, I wanted that Kenny Everett, the Captain Kremen doll. So I knew who he was before I went on that first trip in late 80,
Yeah.
maybe. Maybe 81, early 81. I forget what the date
Did you
was.
get the Viewmasters?
I did. When I on that trip, I got the only things I could find were the full circle Viewmaster reels with Tom Baker on the card artwork, and then the Soustard chocolate Easter egg cardboard TARDIS that had Peter Davison in the door.
And it's electric boner.
And since I didn't know who the F he was,
Yeah.
I pulled it out of there, threw it away, and cut out the portrait of Baker from the full circle thing and put that in the doorway and made it seem
Oh
like, and that was my tar that in the tin were my
yeah,
Doctor Who toys. That was my Doctor Who.
the tin with the, like, I chose the Davison one because Tom's body was painted on.
Yeah, his body's painted. They couldn't even do
They
that.
didn't have a full body picture of Tom frickin' Baker.
They didn't have a full body photo in the BBC archives to put on the thing. They had to paint his body.
I would like to actually reunite with that thing. I have not found one at a show or.
I have mine in my display case from 1980, the first thing I ever mailed away for, and I still have it. And
Yeah,
but
I think I
it
mailed away for that very early on too. Yeah.
it's a very it's a very good example of, yeah, this kind of lines up. This is kind of how they treat the show. This is what they do with merchandise. Kind of, this is kind of how it gets treated. But it was the only thing that ever came out. Whoever distributed it here, I forget how I got the catalog, but
Yeah, I think I got it from the same source as you. I think that was probably like the one of those newsprint catalogs.
Or,
Somebody
like
sent away
Star something. They all had like Star.
Star Tech or Star Inc.
Yeah.
or Gila,
Did you used to go? Did you used to get the stuff the people that made their own stickers and signs?
Yeah, we've talked about T. I think they were called
What?
T and K,
Ian.
and T and K, TDK or something like that. And I still have
Oh.
the one sticker of the Daleks. It's like a cartoon, and there's stairs to the spaceship, and it says, "Well, there goes our plans for conquering the universe." And but
I
I
mean, they
remember
knew.
they sold stickers that just said, "Shut up, Avon." And I was like, how
Oh.
many people even know that reference?
Is
Like,
that the place that I'm thinking of? That T isn't sorry. You also remember Tally Ho Studio? Do you
Oh,
remember that?
sure. Hello, Tally Ho. Yeah, I think that was our second episode. We talked about
Oh,
Tally
did we?
Ho. Yeah.
What?
Somebody posted our Toy Shop Days episode recently, and that was the opening line of it was Hello, Tally Ho. So
Hello, Tally. She
yeah, I remember
was
her.
very sweet. You couldn't get her on
Yeah.
the phone, but she was very sweet, and she knew her stuff.
Yeah. I loved the fact that you had to call all those personalities and learn and pick up things and get, like, I can't tell you the weird stories I heard. And in fact, this relates to Plaid Stallions. Back in the and I've probably mentioned this before, but I think before I don't know if it was before Toy Shop or after Toy Shop, late 80s, there was a guy, I think, who advertised, at least in Comic Buyer's Guide, old catalogs. So I bought like Montgomery Ward's and all these catalogs. I mean, they blew my mind. Every time they came in, I would just sit there and freak out, like the Lincoln Monsters fighting the Mego superheroes and stuff like that. I couldn't have been older than 18. And I would call the guy and place another order. And this was, of course, at the era when I was using the term plaid stallions. And the
Right.
clothes in some of those Midwestern catalogs were just like hilarious to me, And I said to the guy, he's like, "So you're really loving the toys?" And I said, "Yeah." And I go, "And the clothes are freaking hilarious, man. Oh my God, the clothes that they wore in the mid-70s." And I broke this guy's brain. He's an older guy. And he was just like, "Listen, you little punk. I
Uh-oh.
carried a gun in Vietnam,"
Oh.
and just like this whole thing. And I was like, and then I just could picture him in, like, in a orange and
Yeah.
creamsicle leisure
Don't
suit,
you don't know it, but
yelling at me.
he's dressed like Herb Tarlick on the other
Oh
end.
yeah. And I just was like, oh shit,
You just made an enemy. Well, I remember a guy, there were two different guys, like when I was collecting Rocketeer stuff, and I forget if they were through Toy Fair or what. But there was one guy that just one phone call, he suddenly, I'm not going to repeat this, but he suddenly went and veered into an area in a conversation about Betty Page, shall we say,
Uh-oh.
and certain, say, slightly more revealing photos that had recently come to light. And he starts talking about it like I'm on a hotline, like I'm on a porno hotline. And
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, well, that's fascinating. All right,
Oh,
listen,
yeah.
gotta go. Gotta go, Bill. And then the other guy that I used to get really cool Rocketeer, he found stuff regionally that I couldn't find anywhere in the Twin Cities. There were a couple of times where he called and I'd hang up the phone and I'd think, I think he's been drinking.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe. And then like the next call, way more slurry. And then the next call, he's complaining about the wife and kid, like wife kicked him out and all this stuff and just like this. You know, almost falling asleep on the phone. It's like, okay, gotta go. I gotta go now. Okay, have fun collecting. Bye. Click. So, there was an element of that too.
Oh
Usually.
yeah, I used to have to deal with Mr. I'm gonna get more and more racist each time we talk. And it was
I
like,
knock on wood. I never had. I never.
oh dear.
But when a conversation suddenly turns, and you go. It's like you want to go, we didn't rehearse this. Like we didn't,
Yeah,
you didn't,
and
you didn't want to.
I'm not talking like mild grandma type stuff. I'm talking like hard R N word, and it was just like, oh my God,
What was that? When was, what was that
It's like in the early 90s. It's just a guy who I got really friendly with, and he called me all the time, and he had amazing toys. And then just it would get like, I gotta hang up now. And I eventually did just stop talking to him because it was like, yikes.
Yeah, there's, but I suppose with all the good, there has to be some, a couple bad apples to ruin stuff. But
Oh yeah. And I mean, I hope he's, I hope he's feeling better, but
sure
it
he's
was
just
like,
fine. So
oof.
in the pantheon of all the stuff that you, in the archive, let's say at Plaid Stallion, it really starts around what, 72, 73, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I occasionally touch on the 60s, and I usually go up to, the early 80s. Like it's almost like from my existence, right? So from like
Right.
72, because I don't remember being a baby, to I'd say 83, 84, because that's when I stopped kind of being a kid. And then there's other things, like I did, if I'm obsessed with something, if I liked like Tonka Steel Monsters, or I love the Kenner Swamp Thing line, but I was 20 when that came
Yeah,
out.
you veered into 85, 86,
Oh yeah,
87.
sure. I mean, if it interests me in any way. But yeah, that I my favorite period of time is basically before The Empire Strikes Back,
Right.
because I love that. Star Wars changed everything, but it was not overnight. And there was a period, you and I have waxed poetically on this a million times, but there was a period where Star Wars was kind of weird. And I love that period, with the Green Rabbits and the comics and the
Oh, it's
different
the best.
opinions. Yeah.
For me, the greatest chunk of time in my life is probably 75 to 85, let's say. That's
Yeah, I would kind of say the
pretty
same.
good output of the things we were consuming and watching and eating. And I'm watching I've been watching in fact The American, the FX show that's been off the air for a long time. But I,
But that
because
stars
of,
that guy from
yeah,
Windrose Bay, which
because of
I've never
Matthew
watched.
Perkins, who I
Yeah, I
really
didn't.
like, I went, you know what, I'm going to go back and watch some of this, because I'd watched the first few seasons when it aired, and the show takes place in the early 80s. So most of it, the last season now seems like it's in 86, but most of it is 82, 83, 84 kind of thing. Loads of great needle drops where you're like, oh man, I forgot about this Bauhaus song or whatever. But prop-wise, they've done a marvelous job of just an item sitting on the counter, or a poster, or just a can of soda or whatever. In one scene, someone is eating Fruzenglage. Do you remember Fruzenglage?
I think I remember it more of as like a pop culture reference than I do a product,
It
but
was an ice cream. It was made in America, but I think it was like a Swedish message or something.
I think it ended up being the punchline of a lot of sitcom jokes.
And it was in a plastic container. So with the pint, so you could wash it out and use it for coins or whatever, and I haven't thought of it since it was out on the market, but I saw it in the show and I went, oh my God, I used to love that stuff. Like you thought, that and sparkling water, you just thought, oh, I'm really fucking chic because I'm doing Fruzenglage or whatever. So all that stuff, so that chunk of time is marvelous to me. All those memories and all those great products and things and shows and
Yeah,
what happened.
that's a fun thing, eh?
The period of Star Wars for me that is just I could live in it is 77 to 80. Even Empire coming out, but that wilderness in there of all that stuff that we've talked about many times, I still find things or see things that are just wonderful. Just like,
I don't talk about Star Wars a lot on Plaid Stallions because I feel like I don't have to. There's so many people doing it, and they're doing a good job,
Well, oddly enough, Matt Weinhold, Monster Party, Matt Weinhold has got, in all the years I've known him, I never really heard him talk about Star Wars. And something, he's like, well, yeah, I love it. I mean, the first two movies, yeah, I love them. So when we go to that shop, he's been trying to, you know, get every single Creature Cantina character that got made in the 90s or 2000s or whatever and make a little. And so he started getting me to kind of go, well, I've got this credit. Yeah, I'll get that guy. I forgot. I don't know how they made that guy. So there's a bit of that kind of, you know, really.
I get that. And that kind of fits in with being a Monster fan, because that
being a Monster
Cantina
fan
is something that I mean, you couldn't do better than the Cantina, yeah. You know?
Yeah. But all that stuff is just, you know, it's still this, back to Rockford J again. He just very kindly sent me a package of this guy on Etsy that makes packs, wax packs.
Oh, yeah.
That never got them. And each one has like eight.
Marcho.
They have eight cards in it. And a thing of gum and a sticker, you know, they're beautiful. So he sent me a little stag. It's Flash Gordon, the movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I got to find the other two. But when you look at, because I don't want to open them, but when you look at his site, they're gorgeous. I mean, they just go, this guy, you've gotten the color scheme. He's got a Purple Rain set. And you look at the wax pack and the coloring that's used on the outer package, and the guy just gets it. I mean, that weird color, that just reminds me of that 77, you know, the Burger King glasses and that Happy Meals, and you know, the 3PO just looks a little off. Like, I just, you know, and when you think about all these people were really scrambling, they really were scrambling to get stuff to market, because nobody, you know, I think the model kits might have been the first things, like the MPC 3PO and R2 or something. And he looks a little off, you know, 3PO doesn't, but that was the best you were going to get in 1977 to have a representation of this character. And I love it. I love it more than the actual thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're very lucky to have that stuff.
Oh yeah. No, that was a fun time to grow up. And so,
that bleeds into all the rack toy stuff and the stuff that doesn't make sense. And, you know, the heads are wrong, outfits too bright or whatever. And, you know,
one of my favorite things about Mego collecting is that I tracked down the Logan's Run prototypes from the television series, the canceled television series. And, Mego was going to give Rem a robot arm, just like he didn't have in the series.
Well,
and like, oh my God, like that is so awesome. You know, he's got this big claw, and it's like, yeah, they just didn't want to make an action figure of an old guy, so they tried to make him cooler. And it's like, yeah, this is exactly why I love this stuff, you know.
We didn't mind. I
still don't mind.
Back to Rockford J again, because I gotta give another shout out. These packs, the little packs, are Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which never got a card set, Flash Gordon, Blade Runner, and Star Wars Holiday Special. The guy did, and I'm not even going to tell people what the site is, because I want to get more stuff and I don't want them to sell out.
You know what, actually, I bought a set of a wax pack of Kamen Rider from a company that did that a few years ago in England.
Is it real? Is it a real thing, or is it?
No, it's a fan-made thing of Kamen Rider, and I still have, I couldn't open the wax pack, but it was just, it's so brilliant. And it came with like a sticker and some other stuff. And unfortunately I put the sticker on a laptop that's dead now. And, you know,
I don't even want to open these until I get duplicates, but he's also got, you know, on his site, he's got Purple Rain, Buckaroo Banzai, got, you know, a bunch of different things.
But, you know, I never watched Purple Rain, and my wife was not allowed to watch it. I think I watched a bit of it. So I put it on once with my daughter. She was like 10, and I immediately turned it off.
What?
Did you forget
what's in it?
No, I've never seen it through. I'd seen enough of it, but not. And you know, again, I've clearly blocked out some nudity in my life.
I think you've got a nudity filter somewhere in your brain. Something has been,
which is odd, because for years that was so important to me.
That was all you looked for, and then you hit a certain point, and the nudity blocker kicked in, and you can't see it now. You don't know where it is when it's in a movie or TV show. Well, I just want to say that I value Plaid Stallions. I value your friendship. I value.
No, absolutely. One of the greatest things that putting this site out is you and I became friends, and
Yes.
it's changed my life. And I
Well,
truly
good.
appreciate it, sir.
Yes, no, it's I'm very proud of the shows we've done and the audience, whatever, however many 12, 13, 14 people are out there, listening.
I think there's 28.
We obviously love hearing from all of you. But that none of it would have happened if not for Plaid Stallions. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have not called you if you didn't know about the Flash Gordon toys or whatever. I wouldn't
No,
have
but
done.
that was just serendipity,
But
sir.
that was just kind of serendipity that right at that time that but we ended up
That's
having a ton of stuff in common and knowing a lot of stuff and the conversations have been great. But Plaid Stallions as a site, I think is hugely valuable, the work that you did and
appreciate
continue to
it.
do. But
Yeah, I'm actually going to be redoing the entire site this summer, because I need to. It's falling apart.
I'm throwing it away, starting over.
No, I actually do have a meeting tomorrow about like updating the site, and look, my skills have not improved as much, but technology has, so.
But it is an archive
Oh
for
yeah.
a very specific chunk of time, and especially when it comes to rack toys.
Yeah, that'll
I mean, how
always
many times?
be
I mean, I
that'll
remember
always
the
be one of
time
my
that you came
favorites.
across. I remember the time you came across a rack toy for the Sword and the Sorcerer
Oh yeah.
that you didn't know existed.
No.
And
And
so
they're
it's
just
like,
they're rebranded Manimal ones
and
that
you're
I
like,
also didn't know
could
existed.
that be the only one in existence right now? Maybe. I don't know. How far did that go? Did it just go to one part of the country, or did it go?
There
Because
are a few out there because like people love that stuff, but yeah, there are rack toys that I'm still looking for that I've seen once,
yeah, the you having an archive to know what's out there helps whoever wants to
Oh
start collecting.
yeah. I've also
The
I think
fall guy or
created a
whatever.
lot of competitors, but in the same point, by putting that out there, sometimes I've found toys I never thought I'd own. Last year I got a chance to buy a carded Mr. Rock from Lincoln International. That would be my number one grail.
That's
And
gotta be rare to see.
Oh yeah, and thanks to Plaid Stallions, the guy said, "Oh, I saw your site, and I know you really want this." And I made him a very generous offer. It wasn't like I ripped him off, but it was just kind of him to take it. And it's something I look at every day and think, "Holy crap! I can't believe I did it. I can't believe I found it."
Well, again, if not for Plaid Stallions, that's become
And now, now I'm kind of contemplating, we're talking about bringing Mr. Rock back with Lincoln Monsters, and there's just a lot of fun stuff going on. And
with the radio and the hair dryer or the flare gun or whatever it is.
yeah, I mean, we're gonna definitely we did a line for ZoloCon of Astro Simians, which was a quickie idea I came up with, and my partner Jason made sure their communicators were pink, which was like, damn, I wish, like, I'm so glad you caught that. Like, it's so brilliant because, that's definitely on brand. And I was kind of mad I didn't think of it, just like mad at myself. Like, come on, Hyler, get on the ball.
Well, you're not the man you used to be. Let's just
That's
say.
right. That's right. I'm a lot lighter these days.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I mean, that Mr. Rock is. Did he come in a box too, or just on a card?
No, just on the card. The box that's floating around is actually designed by me. I painted it years ago.
I could be just romanticizing, but I swear I saw him on the rack. I swear.
You know what? It's very possible you did.
I know I
It's the
saw.
kind of thing a kid would pick up on because they laugh at it,
Well, you remember the ones that who did the ones that they made a Morlock and they made
That's Tauntland, which was basically
Tomlin.
an offshoot of Lincoln. After Lincoln went under, or ceased operations, one of the people from Lincoln started Tomland and was
Because I'm
even more kind of like, ha, hold my beer, I don't need any licensing,
wasn't it Famous Monsters of Tomland? Is that what it
It
was?
was Famous Monsters of Legend, and they suggested they just basically ripped off a whole bunch of stuff. They made the Sonic Man and the Sonic Woman. They did all those Star Raiders figures that looked like Star Wars
Oh, I love
characters.
those. I absolutely love those. Those were what you got at the if it got into a store like a drugstore that didn't have any Star Wars stuff, you'd grab one of those guys. You'd absolutely grab one of those guys. And
And grandma and grandpa would think they got you a Star War.
did they do a Abominable Snowman? Is that what it was? One of
The
the kids.
Yeti. And we're
The
bringing
Yeti.
those back in 3 3/4 inch this year.
You are? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'm getting
The
knowledge.
Lincoln Monsters. Yeah, in our hiatus, we did a Kickstarter. I think we're doing like, oh gosh, I think over 20 figures in 3 3/4 inch. I'll
Oh,
send you the
I'm
link.
gonna have to get the Morlock and the
Yeah, I'll have to take care of you.
Yeah, for sure. They were really bright. The cards were really brightly colored, you know.
God designed all the new cards just to look like the
Oh,
old
yeah.
ones, and he added a few new characters. I wasn't as active in the creation of that line, because I'm more the 8 inch guy, but Todd and Jason really, really knocked it out of the park, and we successfully succeeded in our Kickstarter. We raised over $100,000, and the figures went to mold 2 weeks ago.
Good.
So we should be sending pictures. I'll send you some photos tonight.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of this, so please send me
Yeah,
some
I
stuff.
sent it to you,
And
but
say
it was a long time ago.
while we're on the topic, that not only do you have the Plaid Stallion site, not only do you have the Facebook group that you look after, not only do we have a podcast, you have successfully published two or three two books, three books, two
Two
books,
books.
two books, and a magazine that went up to issue 12 or 13 that is coming back, but it is gorgeous and people love it. And you put out the Captain Canuck figure.
That's right.
You did,
In fact, I just went. I probably told you about this.
yes, you did.
We were in the Captain Canuck documentary,
Yes.
and I didn't really ask any questions. I just walked in. My friend invited me, my partner Sam Noir, and we were being interviewed by Adam Beach, who played Slipknot in the Suicide Squad movie. And my son and I loved Slipknot in that movie. We thought it
He's
because he
in
had.
Cowboys and Aliens with Harrison Ford.
It was just so fun to it was
Well, you
just
did
before.
that, and then you did Tura. You did the Tura
Well,
figure.
the first one was Brick Mantooth, and that took about 10 years to sell because that was just based on Plaid Stallions, and I took that maybe a little too far, but it's all gone now.
But that
We
was
did.
more, was that more like, was that to order, or was that you did
Oh
like a
yeah,
shipment?
I did 2,000 of those.
Oh, you did 2,000. I've
And
still
then.
got mine, but his insides are falling apart.
Oh well, yeah, that the elastics. And then we
But
did
okay,
Captain
that was
Canuck,
the
and then we
first
did
one.
Tura, and that Tura was sort of like, I don't know, I had kind of I'd kind of been like, I don't know, action figures were tough for me, and Tura was so fun,
It's awesome. The
and so.
box art, the figure's super cool. And
Oh
now you're
yeah.
doing, and you did the Lincoln, you did the
We've done 4 Lincoln Monsters in 8 inch,
four
and
Lincoln 8-inch, and now you're doing the 4-inch
we're doing 3 or 4 new 8 inches starting this year. It's just
And in this release that you're talking about, the 4-inch ones, there's 20 in total, like a couple variants and
there's like 8 Lincoln Monsters, and then like I lose count of all the characters we're doing,
oh,
but
you gotta send me that. You gotta
oh
send me
yeah.
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 So you're like a Renaissance man with this stuff, and it's all out of love, and how lucky are you to be able to do it all, but how lucky is everybody to be able to
It's
get
it's been a lot of fun, and
the fruit of your loins, if you will,
I
that you're
basically
putting
I
all this
want
stuff out to the world.
I want to spend the rest of the next couple of years Just really grinding at this and seeing where I can go with it.
Well, you better hurry because the world's about to end. I just
Oh,
got the word.
I know.
So, chop, chop.
It's always just one more thing with me. I just want to get one more issue out. Can we just hold off on the apocalypse till then?
I'm keeping it at bay as hard as I can, but you better hurry.
Well, I'm hoping that the replicants that take us over are huge toy fans.
Yeah, they're going to need to be keep themselves amused, I'm sure, at some point. Well, this has been great. I think this is great. Long overdue. So
Long
happy,
overdue.
happy, slightly late 20th anniversary to
Thank you
you
very much. And
Black Stallions and all you do.
let's do this again very, very shortly, sir. It's been too long.
Yes, we'll do it for the 30th anniversary. No, that's great. All right.
Yeah. All
Happy
right.
anniversary, baby. You don't look a day over two.
Oh, I do. All right, thanks, everybody.